and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. I have my sexy liberal je ne sais quoi back.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Hey!
God, I've missed you so.
Oh, I can't say I blame you.
Right?
I've been...
He never returns the compliment. He always just sucks yours in.
After years of unresponsive groping that I have put into this relationship... And you
that's
say
not true. I respond. Stop it!
Yeah, you
no, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't. All right. Very,
it's like
very exciting.
A snail on its shell. Just whoop.
That's completely untrue.
Yeah, turning a hair dryer on
like
a turtle.
Touching just a snail.
You kind of are. You're like a pill bug. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. A roly poly. It's like trying to hug a roly poly. Yeah, they go
you just suck up into yourself.
They go into tank mode.
Touched me.
Yeah, they go into tank mode. No.
All right. Listen, the point is,
or hugging Mitch McConnell.
Sexy liberal Columbus. This weekend. Guess who's going to be there?
Who?
Rocky Mountain Mike is going.
What?
All right.
Kenny Pick and the whole gang. John and Pam. John and Pam show are going. Tommy and Columbus. I bet
Shafe?
I bet you even Dave will be there. In Columbus.
Ooh. Oh, Gahanna, actually.
He's from Gahanna. That's right.
Please
the whole
stop.
It's old home week.
That's amazing.
Liberal. Please stop, Dave.
We'll take some photos and put them on Instagram.
Every time I see Steph's face, it reminds me of a sexy liberal show. But
button.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
I had to explain to you what an Instagram
sure
was.
I knew it. It's a photo sharing type situation. By the way, everybody, all
situation.
Y'all, once again, I would just like to say, no, I do not want to join your network on LinkedIn. Please stop it.
No,
stop it.
Those get sent out automatically. People don't actually send them to you.
Yeah.
LinkedIn sends them to you. It's a spam generator, nothing more.
Yeah. That you heard it here, folks. Yeah. LinkedIn is a spam generator, nothing more, according to Chris LaVoy. Which
on.
Arguably, yeah.
Until I need a job.
Exactly. Yeah. My buddy Chris
which,
Bono.
You know.
What?
That could be any day.
He's always going. We've done so many clubs, and he does this social media run. And one of the things is, anybody got a job from LinkedIn ever? Anybody?
Anybody?
Not a single person.
Not a single person.
Rooms
yeah.
full of 500 people, just one after the other. Nope. Nothing.
All right. Oh, and Rocky Mountain Mike has sent me, Steph, here's some sexy liberal jokes you can use in Columbus.
Oh.
He's helpfully written.
Do we need some comedy music?
Sure. Sarah Palin praised Mitt Romney for picking Ryan, pointing out that Ryan helped capture the Red October. It's Jack Ryan. Okay.
Yeah. Most things in this room don't respond well to bullets.
Yeah, exactly.
One ping only, Michelle.
Those two look that gay. Look so gay on that Navy ship. I thought Cher was going to come out and sing If I Could Turn Back Time.
Hey.
Jenna Jameson is upping the ante on her endorsement of Romney, soon to release job creators. She's a porn star.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay. All right.
You didn't create that. Not recently, anyway.
Exactly. All right. Let's see. Jen writes, Steph, I'm thrilled to hear about the New York City show. My husband and I are avid listeners of your show. We also watch on Current TV. Can't wait for October. October, biggest one-day sales ever on its way to sell out for October 27th.
Wow.
Check it out.
Amazing.
All
not
right.
Surprising.
And
though.
Hello. Thank you, Comedy Gods, for Paul Ryan. I mean, really?
Seriously.
Really?
I have to say, I was so excited. Because you know how wonky and substantive I like to be in my
yes.
joking.
Yes.
And I appreciate the value that someone like Rob Portman or somebody would have
right.
given in
sure.
kind of a like a Jimmy Carter redux kind of a, yes. you know, you could pull up those jokes and kind of, now, how do you like that, Republican Party?
Yeah.
But with Paul Ryan, his...
Yeah.
I mean, the level of... This is a guy who yesterday said he didn't find out
right.
that Ayn Rand was an atheist until much later in life,
uh-huh.
which is like...
Sure.
And he said...
And apparently Mitt Romney just found out what's in Paul Ryan's Medicare plan yesterday, and I guess he's for it now, sort of.
But we vetted.
Apparently they didn't really discuss that. They didn't think...
Finding out,
problem.
Finding out that Ayn Rand is an atheist after you've read Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead and
yeah. Maybe
and
not
Anthem.
Quite as smart as the press that breathlessly likes
not
to
not so
say
much.
That
that's
he
like
is.
Finding out that Lord of the Rings has elves in it after you've told everybody it's your favorite book.
Right, exactly.
Turns
by
out the movie
like,
is about a whale.
Right.
And
yeah.
By,
no idea.
I
what,
think...
there are swords and elves in that book? Oh, my God.
I hate swords and elves. I'm sorry. That was my bad. So, my bad. It's muscle
so
confusion. It's
I'm
just
guessing
muscle
that's
confusion.
Why Mitt Romney appears to be losing his already on
yeah.
the campaign trail, because I think by all accounts this has already seemed to be a disastrous
yeah.
pick. There's a piece in Politico about how the entire Republican Party
right.
is freaking out.
Wasn't his idea.
I think Romney is starting to lose it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big issue with the fact that he waited too long, and then it got shoved on him from the right in the
right.
same way Palin did.
Right.
And now he thought it was a plus. You could tell by the way he's standing there
yeah.
off to the side on that boat. He was like, look at him. Look at him standing there.
Oh, he's like, he's as handsome as my son's Flarn.
In that giant Ron Paul suit.
Did you hear that? Which son is that? Tag. Tag had to call Plenty and
yeah, and Portman.
Portman,
yeah,
he had
to call him and say no. Yeah.
He outsourced that job.
What a wiener!
Wow.
He even outsourced
yeah.
that job.
Yeah.
Come on.
He made
when you break up with someone, you don't
Hi.
Do it by proxy.
No,
Hi.
Well, you don't have the kids call at the very least.
yeah.
That's horrible.
Hi, this is Mitt Sondheim from Tel Aviv.
Well, El Soyo.
Tel Aviv.
I got some bad news.
I got some good news. And some bad news. The good news is you can run for president next time. Because the bad news is you're not going to be the VP choice and lose this time around.
Oh,
I don't
Mark,
know which is bad news and good news. I'm going to go hide in one of our 19 houses.
Our friends at The Advocate put out their favorite tweet so far about
yeah.
it. Paul Ryan, dedicated to the belief that Mitt Romney needs a tax break more than you need Medicare.
Yeah.
Borowitz, since Romney doesn't care about poor people, he needed to balance the ticket with someone who doesn't care about old people. this one, I just, it's random. Paul Ryan looks like someone who'd be really excited to talk to you about car insurance.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Let's see. Romney Ryan 2012, because marriage should only be between a man and someone who earns 77 cents on the dollar. Hey girl, this is from our favorite, Paul Ryan Gosling.
Paul Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Hey girl, don't let the...
You just stomp your head in an elevator?
Yeah.
Hey old person, crunch.
Hey girl, don't let the personhood issue get you down. You still get to choose what you make for dinner tonight. Did you see yeah. there was a Hey Girl banner that...
Oh, they flew
yes.
by.
Oh.
He's getting the bejesus heckled out of him already.
Yeah.
But, well, here's the thing. His original budget, before he like
right.
before they unleashed it on the Congress,
right.
before Path to Prosperity 1, which is an awesome read, by the way. I highly recommend it. And like
oh.
I said, calling the Path to Prosperity budget is like calling H.G. Wells' The Time Machine a blueprint for an actual time machine. But the point is, because it's not. It is literally...
Alan Grayson said yesterday the vouchers are like giving someone that's starving like a picture of a hamburger.
Right.
That's
exactly that. Except for, as you stare at the picture of the hamburger, there becomes less and less meat and less
right.
lettuce and less a bun. Because his original
right.
budget... phases out Medicare entirely in two stages.
On
the bright side, the picture won't make you fat.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
it fights obesity.
Newswoman, object of perviness, healthcare expert Jackie Schechner was on Young Turks last night. It was fabulous. We're going to have her do a little health. Jackie's healthcare corner today, because I was reading through it. I mean, you're right, Hal. It's really breathtaking in its awfulness.
Yeah.
And what it does to Medicare and Medicaid. It's just you read it and go, seriously? Like what? somebody thought this was a good idea.
Right. Here's the thing. He tries to distance himself from the quote-unquote the morality of Ayn Rand and his idea of objectivism. Right. But it's really, and that's why the president floated the concept of social Darwinism recently, because that's really what it's about. If you can't survive, or you didn't put enough money away, or we ate your pension and flushed your stock savings down the toilet in this last go-around,
no, I think
ready to retire, you're done.
Bill Kristol works for us, I've decided, because this is really... Everyone hates this budget. Religious leaders, economists, Republicans. Every Republican is running away from this budget, and they're scared, white knuckled about down ballot about how it's going to affect other races.
Oh man!
And now he's getting not just. And I love someone asked him a question. And he's like, I'm just here to enjoy the fair. Apparently, he's not here to answer any of your questions about any issues.
It's a state fair. You know what state fairs are based on? Farming.
Yes.
That was the whole point of
this. Yes, I'd like to know what you're going to do, Congressman Ryan, about the farm bill.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm not here to answer like that.
I've moved from politician to pretty boy. This
Paul
is my
Ryan
job now.
Was at an event in Colorado yesterday.
I don't have any answers, but look at my eyes.
Members of Choose Ryan, Lose Choice managed to fly a banner while Ryan was speaking in Colorado. The banner said, "Hey, girl, choose me, lose choice, Paul Ryan."
Yeah.
And the sign wasn't the only protest against Ryan Tuesday. Politico posted a picture of an admission ticket for a fertilized egg.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And on Monday, another group obviously interrupted his speech at the Iowa State Fair, accusing him of waging a war on the middle class, which is, yes. Thanks for paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so lots to get to. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues at 19 minutes after the hour. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Hal Sparks, she's fabulous.
I'm going to end up face down in a pool. I just know it.
A pool of your own sick.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crying.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Marcus Bachman Overdrive.
Oh,
hey, check me out. Guess who's on the show today? FDR's grandson.
Wow.
Check me out. Hello. Okay.
Yesterday, December 7, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, healthcare expert, healthcare geek extraordinaire Jackie Schechner.
She's never said no to us before.
No. And you know what? I'm eating day-old sushi, so I may need a healthcare expert in about an hour. So perfect. 1-800.
Did you leave it on the counter again?
Yeah, sun-kissed tuna. It's my favorite.
This just in from high-strung, sexy liberal tour director Roland. Steph, I just put together a rush ticket for Columbus. It's available now in honor of Columbus's 18 electoral votes. There are 18 tickets available, $18.
Oh, wow.
Go to Ticketmaster and type in sexy liberal in the code box or go right to the box office. Those are the last seats available for this Saturday night. Sexy liberal in Columbus. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12. So somebody was saying last night on TV, Hal, that... apparently they didn't plan for this whole Medicare budget thing.
We didn't read it.
Sununu was like, no, his is different. He's doing this with his hands. Romney's budget is this, but he's doing this. I guess by yesterday, Romney officially has embraced Paul Ryan's. Yes! Mm-hmm. Go, Mittens!
Yeah.
It's wildly popular.
It's extraordinary. And marvelous.
Is this the John Sununu bitch slapping by Soledad O'Brien?
Yeah, it's a little bit long, but we can listen to it.
It's fabulous and marvelous.
Right. Yeah.
I understand that this is a Republican talking point because I've heard it repeated over and over again. And these numbers have been debunked, as you know, by the Congressional
Budget
Office.
Wait a minute.
Yes, they have.
I have the Congressional Budget Office report right here.
It's right here.
Dated July 24th from Doug Elmendorf. Go read page 13 and 14.
I can tell you what it says. Yes, it cuts a reduction in the expected rate of growth, which you know, cutting budgets to the elderly, benefits will be improved. The focus is on hospitals.
Program by $711 million.
Oh,
and the fact is that he reduces services to Medicare beneficiaries currently on the package.
He kills puppies.
What the difference is that Romney says
babies.
No impact to anybody 55 or over.
But anybody under 54.
The reduction in services start on January 1st. 2013.
And salt debt's rolling
around.
And
Obama stole that money to put it into programs.
The hospitals agreed to that. And the drug providers agreed to that because their theory is that what they're going to be able to do is make up by the number of people who come into the system. It doesn't reduce or cut the benefits, right? The older people who receive Medicare.
No, they're assuming.
I'm talking louder.
Stop this.
So
all you're doing is mimicking the stuff that comes out of the White House and gets repeated on the Democratic blog boards out there.
If you're going to mouth, I'm telling you what factcheck.com tells you. I'm going to tell you what the CBO tells you. I'm telling you what CNN's independent analysis
does. I've got the CBO report right here.
And I'm telling you what it says.
Put an Obama bumper sticker on your forehead when you do this.
You know, let me tell you something.
Oh.
There is independent analysis that details what this is about. And
no,
repeating a number...
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No,
yes, there is.
No, there's Democratic analysis.
Let me finish.
Democratic analysis.
Let me finish. There's independent analysis. Factcheck.com, the CBO, and CNN has also done its own independent analysis. And name-calling to me, and somehow acting as if by you repeating a number of $716 billion that you can make that stick when that figure is being stolen from Medicaid, that's Medicare, that's not true. You can't just repeat it and make it
true. It's a reduction in services and a reduction in support
in the
for Medicare
rate
Advantage.
Of growth.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Crack on, Soledad.
Fidel Hussein Sununu.
There's not Democratic analysis.
Yeah.
It's the CBO and the fact check. Whatever. I mean, that's what's...
Right.
It's hilarious. It's like, can
now
you really...
Now I've got it right here. You can't look at it, but I've got it right here.
Yeah, there's an expectation of $716 billion in return, essentially.
And by the way, Paul Ryan's plan keeps that
people
in.
Being healthier longer.
That, right. And then takes a machete to the rest of it. I mean, it's really...
Yeah, quote-unquote, Obamacare is what actually adds expected life and health to the people so that over time the Medicare expenditures will be lower because preventative measures...
It doesn't come from
treatment.
People, from seniors. It comes,
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
But what would a Cuban-born Palestinian know,
exactly.
Like John Sununu?
What? What did I say?
Mitt Romney's campaign sought to distance the former governor from Paul Ryan's Medicare privatization plan on Saturday. But by Monday, Romney fully embraced his running mate's proposal. He was given three opportunities to explain how his vision would differ from Ryan's yesterday. And he finally said, my plan for Medicare is very similar to his plan for Medicare.
Except I do this with my hands.
Yeah, but bully on that, though. Bully on that. Yes, I would hug that tight, Mittens.
Yeah. So Mittens wants to shove Granny over a cliff just like Ryan does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
Robert Reich says Romney Ryan will bring back social Darwinism.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the problem is somebody like Ryan actually shrugs and goes,
That's
A, no surprise. B, that's the point.
A lot of it, he doesn't dispute the numbers. He's like, that's it.
Yeah, it's the cull the herd budget is really what it is.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't save everybody. Too many hungry mouths, useless eaters, as Kissinger used to refer to them.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who wants my hot black box of coffee?
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. Jim, I have a guest quote for you. Who said, what I do know is anyone that believes in Ryan's carefully cultivated image as a brave, honest policy wonk has been snookered. Who said that?
Jackie Gleason.
No. Paul Krugman.
Ah.
Our friend Charlie Pierce said yesterday this was a pick designed to make Paul Krugman stroke out. He's been a thorn in their side for too long.
Yeah.
He is, in fact, a big fraud who doesn't care at all about fiscal responsibility and whose policy proposals are sloppy as well as dishonest. Of course, this means he'll fit right into the Romney campaign just fine. Who said that?
Charles Krauthammer.
No, that was a bad guess. Paul Krugman.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, who said, I have no idea how this will play politically, but it does look like a move from weakness rather than strength. Romney obviously felt he needed a VP who will get people to stop talking about him.
Robbie Krieger.
No! Paul Krugman! So, Sununu would say that Democratic analysis because he's a crazy liberal.
No, he's just
economist.
Crazy.
Won one of those crazy liberal Nobel Prizes.
Yeah.
However, guess who else...
It was a liberal Nobel Prize. It wasn't the real one.
Guess who else hates Paul Ryan's budget?
Who?
Reagan's budget director. Oh, no!
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no!
Clearly, he's not Reagan-y enough.
No.
With extra Reagan berries.
Right. Well, Ryan's budget, which gives massive tax breaks, of course, to corporations and the wealthiest Americans, drastically slashes funding for social programs, decimates state budgets, and still ends up raising the deficit, which that's a neat trick.
Wow.
That is a neat trick.
Take some doing.
Has garnered critics ranging from Catholic bishops to top economists. Yesterday, President Reagan's former budget advisor, David Stockman, added his voice to the dissent. He blasted Ryan's budget as an empty conservative sermon and a fairy tale in an op-ed published in the New York Times.
Oh, dear.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, it literally the joy of selfishness or whatever, you know, the her treatise on objectivism.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically
the blueprint. Rich people good, poor people bad.
And the reason we know is because more rich people aren't religious, because being religious makes you mentally retarded. That was her phrase, not mine.
Well, that yes.
Anybody who's Christian, yes.
Paul Ryan,
guess what?
Never realized that.
Yeah, he didn't realize there were elves in Lord of the Rings.
How could you be an acolyte of Ayn Rand and not know that about her?
You can't. It's right out of the gate in every book. Even if you start,
you can start with any of her books,
and within a chapter, you will know exactly where she stands, because all it is a repeated. The only reason
amazing that Paul Ryan's giant zombie eyes missed that.
I have actually read Atlas Shrugged, The Fountainhead, Anthem, and her treatise on objectivism.
Right.
And here's the thing. The 1,100 pages. Atlas Shrugged is 1,100 pages.
That's a big book.
It only needs to be 300 pages. It really only needs to be 300 pages, because there are these, like, 15-page monologues.
Right. No God, rich people good. That's
yeah.
How much,
but
how
she
much
was too selfish. Right. She was too selfish to listen
edit.
To an editor.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Right. All right. Reagan's budget director says, in short, Mr. Ryan's plan is devoid of credible math or hard policy choices, and it couldn't pass even if Republicans were to take the presidency and both houses of Congress. Mr. Romney and Mr. Ryan have no plan to take on Wall Street, the Fed, the military-industrial complex, social insurance, or the nation's fiscal calamity, and no plan to revive capitalist prosperity. Just empty sermons.
Sounds marvelous.
Stockman's scathing critique of the Ryan budget also notes it preserves an unnecessarily large national security budget that currently saddles our bankrupt nation and continues to eschew regulations for dangerous Wall Street banks. Guess who else hates Paul Ryan's budget? Donald Trump!
It's hugely bad.
He said it's a big mistake and a dangerous plan for Mitt Romney to support.
Huge mistake.
Wow! I mean, how can you have a plan that both Paul Krugman and Donald Trump hate?
Wow.
Really? And the bishops and the nuns agree. What?
And it wipes out
who is actually
Medicare
left.
And Medicaid and raises the deficit at the same time.
Yeah.
I want to know what Paul Ryan's family actually thinks about it. I mean, if you're going to do all the... Really, honestly, what do you guys think? You live with him.
No, seriously,
what is he talking
sucks.
About?
Can you pass the gravy?
Grandma,
right.
Grandma, I have to sit you out on the ice floe, except there aren't any ice floes because of global warming.
Grandma?
But, yeah.
Would you like...
But not because of
men. Or eye sockets, cat food. Which one tonight?
Right.
You have a great plan.
Because Daddy is actually a climate denier. Because Paul Ryan doesn't believe that in climate change either.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Grandma, it's a big night for you. You can have either one. You could have holes or eye sockets, cat food. Look, both.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jeannie in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jeannie. God, go ahead. Thank you.
Aw.
Yay.
We try.
People scare the heck out of me, you know, and I just, you know, I went through hell to get Social Security disability, and, you know, and it's just, I don't want him privatizing what I work so hard to get, you know, I mean.
Jeannie, we had someone call yesterday. That's the other thing. I mean, we'll get to all this with Jackie next hour, too. It's just, I mean, it really is, it's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. It is
Medicaid, people, it's not just, you know, people think, oh, it's slackers. It's a lot of disabled people. So a woman called yesterday with a disabled daughter, you know, I mean, it's just, and there, you know how many millions of people are on that and depend on that? I mean, it really is,
I do. I have arthritis in every part of my body, knees, back, and it's hard for me to get around, and had to go through the system and all that, and I'm on it right now, and it's good. It helps me out with my prescriptions and everything. You know, and I don't want somebody taking that away from me and gutting it. You know, it's just these people don't realize, you know, not everybody is, like you said, a slacker. You know, there are some
of us. Guess who would be a Bally's fitness trainer in Janesville right now if it weren't for Social Security?
It's just not fair. I mean, these people have a one-track mind. They don't listen to people who are going through a hard time. And I am, you know, I've had arthritis for many years, and it's gotten progressively worse.
You know, Jeannie, it reminds me, we were just talking about the nuns and the bishops, but, you know, I mean, pretty much every religious leader of every stripe has come out against this budget. And you know what I mean? It just brings me to is, who is this party today? They're not. It's not. They're not the moral values party anymore.
No, I mean, they don't care about people. Well, they don't care. They don't care about the, you know, people who are going through a rough time. They only care about the ones that are very rich. You know.
No, but I mean, what are they left with their moral values? Well, essentially, aren't they, what, gay people are bad?
They're the Tories.
Nothing.
You know,
fought
a revolutionary war against those people.
They have no. They call themselves Christians. And, you know, I'm a Christian, and but I love everybody. You know, I think,
it seems to me Jesus was kind of chatty about poor people, wasn't he?
A little bit, yeah.
No. He loved poor people, you
right.
know.
That's my point. He didn't say anything about gay people. He didn't say, I mean,
but
just,
he offered them a $50 voucher instead of
right,
being
yeah.
healed.
For, yeah. I can heal your blindness. Or yeah, I can give you a coupon.
Right.
By the way.
And some green stamps.
I think
and you'll slowly become blind again
That's
soon.
What I was thinking. They're like my mom's green stamps
yeah.
from the 70s.
Yeah, right.
What do I do with, what are these?
Right.
I don't, okay.
We know what to do with them.
By the way, someone sent me this. I had not seen this, and I thought it's interesting. Reagan's budget director has said this is an awful budget. Because
right.
I, among a lot of people, make the point about how far this Republican Party, I don't even know who they are anymore, but how far they moved to the right since my dad and Goldwater, certainly, but obviously even Reagan, even Bush. Let's see. John in San Francisco. Steph, here's the chart from Nate Silver's New York Times blog. Do you guys see this? It rates the degree of right-wing conservatism of Ryan versus all other VP candidates over history based on their own voting records. Ryan rates as the most conservative ever, even more than Dick Cheney. I don't think you mentioned, let's see, Ryan rates a 100% A by the NRA. He's against any background checks. He's obviously not in favor of abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. I mean,
right.
he is so extreme. Add this to his support of DOMA, opposition to gay marriage and adoption. He's the perfect poster boy for the Pat Robertson.
But we can't really call it conservative. I mean, this is right-wing radicalism.
Right.
By the way, every time we say, by the way, rape and incest, incest rarely comes without the rape aspect. That's
true.
The thing.
Yeah, nobody really does it willingly.
Like, oops, my dad and I accidentally, or my uncle and I accidentally fathered a child. This was a rape of a child, oftentimes too.
Yeah.
And they
and
the idea that somehow it's God's will enforced upon this girl, whereas the God's will never reflects backwards on the male. It's very Old Testament. It's very dark, and it's dismissive.
Give me my high school educational film strip,
sure.
won't you? Because here is Nick Spittle's very helpful chart. Look, it is a very helpful chart. Boom. No, but this is how they, judge this for years. That's how you get a rating from the conservative whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Based on his congressional voting record, it evaluates him as being roughly as conservative as Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota.
Great.
We're talking that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ryan is the most conservative Republican member of Congress to be picked for the vice presidential slot since at least 1900. He's also more conservative than any Democratic nominee was liberal, meaning that he is the furthest from the center of any nominee, as they judge these things. And here's this whole, he's a, I don't know how big ideology score. He's at like plus 0.562. So here's the interesting, my dad, it was almost right now, is ranked as one of the most liberal of the conservative nominees.
And your dad
was... he's at plus 281. Only Bush, Nixon, and Henry Cabot Lodge were considered more liberal than my dad. In this particular chart, and then these are all the Democratic nominees. These are how, then they go into liberal. I mean, my dad is here from where you go into Democratic nominees.
Yeah, right.
And this is what... I mean, this is exactly what people have talked about how far right this Republican Party has gone. And,
But again, I really do think at a certain point you can't read you can't read into the CEO mentality of Mitt Romney,
right.
Who basically believes he can arguably fire the poor and fire immigrants. Mm-hmm. Essentially, like, I like firing people. I like kicking people out. And that idea is he's going to take some citizens who he doesn't think are valuable and productive, old people, young people who are born without money.
The nuns offered to take him on a tour of the, you know, poor people that they work with, that the budget would have found. Sure, Mittens will take them right up on that.
Mm-hmm. He loves hanging out with them. You can see him when he's eating an ice cream cone surrounded by normal people. It's like...
They're not going to touch me, right?
No, it's like a new guy in a prison unit.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to like Thursdays.
Don't touch me.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
To the right, to the right, to the front, to the back.
Actually, you can roll a Tootsie Roll. I mean, if it's laying
right.
If it's laying on the... I've got to straighten this out.
Stand
so
as end, I suppose.
Now, if it's standing, then it would tumble like a log, but you still... It wouldn't roll. I'm just
saying
it would only roll two directions.
I need to go to meeting to see
this.
Go to meeting.
The left and the right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The very best way to host an online meeting or demonstrate your Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, we
My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. The promo code is Stephanie.
Right.
What?
Why is theater turning into...
I don't know.
Jiminy Click. Jiminy Click.
Dana in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Whoops.
Okay, just Hal, really quickly, I was watching Triathlon.
Oh, the Disney Triathlon
with
on Monday.
Son. Yeah, and I wanted to bust your chops a little bit about driving around in a boat car while everybody else was sweating and gagging.
I was doing color commentary, and it was my idea.
Wait
a minute. Let's set this up. What are we talking about?
All right, I hosted Disney's Triathlon, which is a competition kind of Olympic style between their three of their kids on their shows.
Okay.
You know, like three teams. And I did all my color commentary from an amphibious car. I drove a car into the lake, and I drove it around, and it was like a 1950s-style Disney car. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
He loves the car. He loves it.
You could only be in the car for like 50 minutes before it would take on water, and you're like, I'm going to drown and die.
House Park is the only guest on the show that could clearly say, I drove an amphibious car.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious.
For two days straight.
Okay.
I kept looking at your skin, like praying that you were wearing enough sunscreen.
I was wearing a ridiculous amount of sunscreen.
All right. So beautiful.
All right.
They wanted me to stand on the beach doing the color commentary. I said no. Even though I might sink and die, I will be in this amphibious car because it's awesome.
Showtime never asked you to do this when you were on Queer as Folk.
No. There was other buoyancy elements. There were a couple other floating things there.
There were wetsuits, but for other things.
Wetsuit on that show was totally different. That was a nickname we had for our socks.
Obama up by 3 in Ohio, where Hal and I will be on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw that story yesterday. That it might be bye-bye for Ohio because of the Ryan pick.
Nate and HuffPo just added 5 electoral votes to the to the Obama side this weekend.
And even he holds an even larger edge among the state's independents. A new poll released yesterday shows Ohio voters divided on Romney's running mate, at least those who know him. 34% say they have a favorable view, 33% unfavorable, 33% say they're unsure of what to think about him.
Oh, they're going to
find
out.
But we're going to fill them in.
Yeah, right. Guess what?
Yeah, this is the beauty of this Politico story. Is it wrong how happy this made me? GOP pros fret over Paul Ryan. And it's a whole story about what they're all saying publicly, because they have to.
Right.
And what literally they're all saying privately. away from the cameras with all the usual assurances that people aren't being quoted by name, nobody would go on the record. There is an unmistakable consensus among Republican operatives in Washington. Romney has taken a risk with Ryan that has only a modest chance of going right and a huge chance of going horribly wrong. In more than 36 interviews with Republican strategists and campaign operatives, old hands and next-generation conservatives alike, the most common reactions to Ryan range from gnawing apprehension to hair-on-fire anger that Romney had practically ceded the election. The more pessimistic strategists didn't even feign good cheer. They think the Ryan pick is a disaster for the GOP. And this is what we've been talking about. Many of these people don't care that much about Romney. They always thought he was going to lose, but they're worried about Ryan's vocal
down
views
ticket.
About, yes, overhauling Medicare and will be a milestone for other Republican candidates. He could have just lost the House and the Senate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Mittens.
Yep.
Yeah, most of the mood of anxiety and skepticism is overwhelming, as Politico describes it.
They could still steal it.
They're worried it sidetracks the jobs issue. They're worried he'll expose the fact that Romney doesn't have a budget plan. Most of all, they're worried Romney was on track to lose anyway, and now that feels all but certain.
I'm just saying don't get overconfident because they'll do everything they can to steal.
Yes, of course they are.
Are you doing it? Yeah. You wonder why they, you know, traditionally, older folks are Republican voters a lot of times or whatever, and they're starting to disenfranchise that crowd because arguably they're not necessarily going to flop the way they normally go because of Ryan.
Yeah. This is, the most cutting, I have to say, some of these points I've made better than a lot of Democrats I've seen on television.
Mm-hmm.
The most cutting criticism of Ryan, shared by a handful of strategists, is that he isn't ready to be president. He just doesn't seem like he can step into the job on day one, said one strategist who professed himself a Ryan fan. Very not helpful down ballot, said one top consultant.
Mm-hmm.
This is the day the music died, said one Republican operative after the rollout. Another one said the good news is now this ticket has a vision. The bad news is that vision is basically just a chart of numbers used to justify policies that are extremely unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it turned a referendum into a choice, said one Republican Washington lawyer. Choosing Ryan forfeited no real-world experience point Romney has been building up for months about Obama and put a new state in play that was otherwise trending his way, Florida. Oh, this is just... The Romney campaign has quieted few doubts in the 36 hours since announcing Ryan for vice president. The Republican presidential nominee has endured withering press coverage in senior heavy Florida and dodged questions about where his views on Medicare differ from Ryan's. Oh, Mittens. Mittens, Mittens, Mittens. Oh, dear.
But look at those eyes.
That's
pretty much all they got.
Look how
like
blue
two,
they are.
Two blueberries on a porcelain saucer.
Someone was saying already
that
muscle confusion.
Muscle confusion.
Oh, this feels very pale. Doesn't it feel Palin-esque? There really was all the, ooh, how exciting, and ooh, look how
ooh,
young and hot he is.
How pretty.
I have to say, though, the Palin version of this lasted a lot longer.
Yeah,
it really did. It was 4.5 weeks of solid,
she
wonderful,
is.
Without any, and it was part maybe because there was no policy stuff to grasp onto.
Right.
But I mean, even the stuff there was, like her record as governor or mayor of Wasilla, they didn't bother because she was just so attractive. That was enough. They're not going that far with him.
Yes.
Apparently, you know, the widow's peak is not enough to stave off actual policy criticism.
No, but you're right. He does have muscle confusion. Ryan takes his P90X workout on that. It's the only thing we agree on, P90X.
Yeah.
He was spotted in the gym of the Renaissance Denver Hotel working on a P90X video on his iPad.
Right.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to keep myself in shape, that's for sure. Oh, there's a little bit of George W. Bush thrown in there. He hopes to have that,
my bicycle.
To have that body fat. Opposition. Really bad ideas.
Mm-hmm.
With really low body fat.
Great. Zero body fat, zero IQ.
There you go. Andrea.
Low carbs and the inability to process high-order thoughts.
Andrea, North Carolina. Hey, Andrea.
Yeah. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I wanted to add to a previous caller who was talking about people on disability. I'm one of three sisters who were on disability because of autoimmune disease before the age of 40. Medicare Advantage was a godsend because most people don't know that in most states under the age of 65, you can't buy Medigap insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now, because of the greed of the insurance companies, doctors aren't taking it because the reimbursement rates are lower, and it's costing the government more, so they're getting rid of it. So how are people that need medical care in the current situation going to pay 20%? And with Ryan, that's even going to get worse.
Yep, absolutely. We'll talk to Jack Shepner about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey! Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Fresh from blowing the roof off the Pantages in L.A. For Sexy Liberal. We are heading to Columbus this Saturday. A couple of tickets. I mean, I don't even know if there's any left now. But Roland just put up 18 tickets at $18 a piece. Type sexy in the to go to Ticketmaster.com. Or go right to the box office there in Columbus. There's only a
type sexy on the forehead of the person who's wearing that. How does that work? How do you get the break? If I guess if you show up, that's enough.
Seattle coming up in September, and then the big one in the NYC. All four sexy liberals, like Tyler, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and me. At the Beacon Theater.
They're all big ones.
Where the Rolling Stones played several years
ago. Pre-election extravaganza.
Oh, that's nice. Is it the one they filmed?
Yeah, with Marty Scorsese.
That's great. By the way, I will be in Ferndale, Michigan this Friday. Before I go to Columbus, I'm actually driving from there to Columbus, playing the Magic Bag. It's north of Detroit. It's Ferndale is just north of Detroit. Awesome. So it's the Detroit area, but we say Ferndale because some people get scared of debt riot. Yeah. But I'm at the Magic Bag. The Magic Bag.
That's your bag, baby.
It's your bag. All right, Chris writes
on
stuff.
From Queer as Folk.
I beg your pardon. Romney slipped his base in Viagra this weekend in the form of Paul Ryan. Now that their four-hour erection has worn off, Republican voters are facing the real source of their impotence. They're still in bed with Mitt Romney.
Everybody out there know that Paul Ryan, the deficit hawk wonder boy, budget man,
increases the deficit?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he voted for TARP and the auto bailout, and he voted for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and he voted for the unpaid-for Bush tax cuts and Medicare, the donut hole. He's for that and against patching it. So thanks, old folks. Enjoy paying more for prescriptions.
Tim in Eureka sends me an e-card. I like Romney's platform because it's simple. The state should stay out of everything except our vaginas. Us chicks need things simple.
Or papayas, as Romney accidentally called them when talking to Cuban Americans.
Yeah. Papayas?
Yeah.
That's a euphemism for a vagina.
For vagina. Okay. And he said, I like papayas. The papayas here, just the right size, or whatever. And everybody was like, does he know?
All right, speaking of chicks, I love when Jackie calls, T-Bone puts like exclamation points like a sitcom.
Yes.
Just not like, just Jackie, Jackie with a lot
Jackie.
Of exclamation. Jackie!
Like Angie.
Right. Exciting.
Or Chloris.
It's another episode of Jackie.
Rhoda!
Right, totally. And this is Carl, your doorman.
All right, here we go. Hello, BFF Jackie Schechner.
Does it make me ungrateful to get sick of my own theme song?
No, it makes you very Bender, though. David Bender had the same issue.
All right, here's how BFF-y Jackie and I are. I was on CNN, and she was texting me, "You're great," and last night she was on Young Turks, and I was like, you're so great. I'm so proud of you, because you were awesome. You broke down the healthcare thing. You just make it so simple for
people. You're a
pro. So, well,
you're a healthcare geek. Yeah. You can't help yourself.
So simple, even Mitt Romney couldn't understand it.
Yes. Well,
but he chooses not to.
Give me some chick music, first of all. So, first of all, let's start with 5 reasons why Paul Ryan is bad for women's health. First of all, he's cast 59 anti-choice votes on reproductive rights.
Also, he's a vampire.
Yeah,
so there's that.
Okay, there's that. He co-sponsored a personhood amendment that would give legal rights to a fetus starting at conception. Yes. So this would outlaw abortion, some forms of contraception, and in vitro fertilization.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about Ryan or Romney?
Ryan,
okay.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
No, we were talking about that. I think we mentioned that yesterday, is that if they're trying to pander to women by saying that he's dreamy and romantic, it's unbelievably offensive because he's horrible on women's issues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're a little deeper than
Jackie, however.
Oh, but look at those eyes, though.
And
huh?
You only think he's horrible on women's issues because you're a woman. Let's be fair.
Sure. True. If I were a man, I would think he was awesome.
As a man, he thinks he's
awesome. Hey, girl,
awesome.
What do you got, PMS?
Yeah.
he supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. He voted to ban abortion coverage for being included in the state health insurance exchanges. And this would, by the way, even women using their own money would be banned from buying. Okay, Ryan compared Roe v. Wade to the Dred Scott Supreme Court decision, and he has supported defunding Planned Parenthood. So...
He's so ideologically radical
yeah.
that it's almost so extraordinary. I think the media can't even wrap their brains around how ideological he is.
But he's like, dreamy.
No, I really, like, part of me believes that he's so extreme that people can't even believe he's so far out there. They're
right.
thinking that maybe he's not even, it's not possible somebody could be that radical.
Well, you know what it is? I think it's like the young, cute version of the Ron Paul effect. Ron Paul has this granddaddy kind of energy
right.
to him, kind of Reagan-esque kind of, oh, he can't be.
Oh, and he's against war. He
yeah,
must be.
Yeah, he
good.
Can't, look how doddering and funny he is. You know what I mean? And there's an element of Paul Ryan seems so kind of affable that you go, we're used to our crazies looking crazy.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Oh, and he looks like an Eagle Scout, Paul Ryan, we're told.
Yeah.
So, Jackie, let's, this is when I saw it. I just saw a breakdown
but,
of it in the, all right. Oh, Jim waited like an hour and a half to get his Hitler reference.
Yeah.
Okay. But I looked at just the analysis in the LA Times, and I mean, obviously, it's all over the place, but I really, that's why I said we have to have Jackie on, because it is so breathtakingly horrible. First of all, it would not balance the federal budget for another 28 years at least, which he doesn't even dispute, right? I mean, so.
Right. Well, I think Hal made this point, and this is very important, is that this is not a piece of legislation. This is like the Paul Ryan fantasy budget outline.
He calls it a blueprint.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
not, right. it doesn't do anything, and a lot of it's not realistic or doable. I mean, if he had to write any of this down in legislation, it would never pass in a million years
right.
because it's so extraordinarily
right.
unpopular and unreasonable.
Well, they run.
But Jackie, it says it's a path to prosperity.
Yeah.
they are literally, his own party, like, even hardliners on the right are running from it just in this kind of prose form that he handed out. Once he started attaching numbers to what he actually means,
right.
there's nobody okay. in the room with him.
Okay,
yeah,
there's
a lot of assumptions and a lot of, you mean
right.
the CBO scores it on assumptions. There's not
right.
there's not a lot of hard facts in here. And
he assumes
he had
a 3%
actually
bump in GDP based on the idea of tax cuts.
All right.
That's
let,
already
let me,
factored
let me,
in there. It's
let
crazy.
Me get into the meat of this with Jackie with the health care stuff, because that's the part that's really stunning, right? So explain this to us more. It would shift Medicare from a system in which everyone gets the same set of benefits paid for by tax funds to one in which the government would give each senior citizen a fixed amount of money. In some places, at least in the early years, the premium support maybe might cover the full cost of Medicare, but there's no guarantee of that, right? I mean, and then
yeah, we should call this extreme couponing, Ron, Paul Ryan.
It's a blueprint with green stamps.
Right.
Yeah,
and then
you know.
And then you would also lift the Medicare eligibility age, right, from 65 to 67.
I'm sorry, an MRI is a e-ticket ride.
Yeah, this is how he wants to make Medicare more solvent, is he wants to raise the age and he wants to force seniors to pay more of their health care out of pocket. The most important point, I think, in all of this is that if we don't get out in front of the $700 billion thing, it's going to be death panels all over again. And I really think it's important for listeners mm-hmm. and viewers to understand this, mm-hmm. is that we are saving $716 billion over the next 10 years by making some changes to the way Medicare works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to strip a single benefit from seniors.
Right.
What we're doing is getting rid of this waste, fraud, and abuse in the Medicare system. And I've got a good example for you for that is Florida Governor Rick Scott, who led Columbia HCA, the hospital group, which was fined $1.7 billion back in 2000 for defrauding Medicare. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are making a lot of money mm-hmm. by waste and fraud and abuse in Medicare. So we're honing in on stuff like that, right? It's also going to slow down payments to providers, hospitals, insurance companies, drug companies. We're not stopping growth.
Right.
We're just slowing down the rate of growth.
So, Jackie, mm-hmm. let me ask you this stuff, because this is the stuff that you really try to understand their argument, don't you? You kind of go, okay, so supporters say the premium support approach would hold down the federal government's spending on health care since seniors would have an incentive to shop for the cheapest plans. Competition among private plans would push costs down. So any of us that, oh, let's just say, have a mother, think this is fairly hilarious. Critics argue an elderly, sick people aren't likely to be good comparison shoppers and can easily be misled right. by complicated insurance
programs.
We don't
programs. Comparison shop for health care. When was
right.
the last time you fell and broke your arm and then called around to see who's got the cheapest cast.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not a commodity. It's not a car or bread. Like, you don't, that's not the way we consume healthcare. It's an incredibly naive argument to make that we somehow treat this healthcare market like any other consumer good. We don't, you don't have a choice.
Right.
And you're going to get sick.
My mom does not know how to operate her answering machine. She still has a man saying, no one is available right now. So that she would be able to, be, you know, it's a maze.
But it's not even for elderly folks. That's the crazy part.
Right.
Is that we, I mean, anybody of any age, You're not going to shop for health care when you're
right.
sick. You just want to get well.
Right. Detractors also say health insurers would have a huge incentive to create low-cost plans for younger, healthier seniors, leaving Medicare with the oldest, sickest patients, thus driving up its costs, defeating the whole purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the adverse selection model. But you can't say that cost competition and choice are going to lead to lower prices, because that's what we have in the private insurance market now, and costs keep skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the real world costs. I mean, the LA Times is just crunching, saying unless costs grow much more slowly than expected, the average retiree would have to pay between $1,200 and $2,400 a year more. The amount would rise over time. Would probably be higher for those with chronic health problems. I mean, this just seems a disaster on every level. In real world terms, right?
Voters rejected the idea of choice and competition when they rejected John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same kind of idea. It's taking away any sort of regulation and forcing people to go out and fend for themselves in the private insurance market. Now, when you do this with something like Medicare, which is wildly popular, which most seniors look forward to because it drives the cost down for them so considerably, and you say we're going to wipe that away and put you into the private insurance market the way everybody else has to fend for themselves, it's absurd. It's so unbelievably absurd. And I can't imagine how they can possibly argue that this is going to be a benefit to anybody.
Right. And, Jack, we always run out of time. We have so much to ask you about. But, you know, well, maybe we should. Can we break and come back on Medicaid? Because it's really important.
Can you hold, Jackie?
Can you?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
good.
I'm easy like that.
I've heard not just like that. Anyway. What? 19 minutes after the hour, back with part two of Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Jackie Checkner is not.
No, that's me. That's the smart one. Now here she is again, the smart one, Jackie Schechter in the current news center.
Mm-hmm.
I told you yesterday, and it's like broadcast news. I'm like the dumb anchor, and you're like the really smart Holly Hunter character.
I'm
doing Hannity on Fox News on Tuesday. So I'll need you in my ear, because he will sabotage me. He will ambush me. I don't know what he's going to do, but I will need you in my ear.
I was asking about what kind of nude photos you had out there. Mm. Is there a sex tape we don't know about? Like, what do you have that he can use against you?
Not that I know of. All right.
I bet you there's that booking picture of you when you were arrested in college.
What? Listen, we don't have time for that now. We have to talk about Medicaid.
Didn't you should have told me on our first date?
my shady past. All right, so let's talk about the Medicaid hunk of it, because you and I have talked about this is important. The biggest single source of cost saving in Ryan's budget would come from cutting Medicaid, which, in case people don't know, is what provides health care for the poor, the disabled, and the companion program that pays for health care for children. Mm-hmm. Now serving, people think, it's not a big deal. It serves almost 60 million people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Low-income children, disabled adults, and seniors. It's the nation's main health care safety net. Much of the spending goes to long-term care for seniors, largely in nursing homes, which Medicare doesn't cover, right? So
under
the Ryan plan, funding would be cut by a third, according to the CBO, and the remaining funds would be given to the states as a block grant to use as they wish. So explain how disastrous that part is.
Well, we have a problem now, right, because people lose their jobs or they don't have any income, and then they don't have access to health care. It becomes this horrible spiral. And so one of the things that we've done is created Medicaid so that people who fall below the poverty level have access to health care. And the Affordable Care Act that we just put into place would actually expand that safety net, and it would give a higher percentage of people access to health care. And it's really the federal government has come in and said, look, we're even going to pay for it. We're not just going to expand this, but we're going to pay for it for the first few years. It's not going to cost the states anything.
And Jack, that was a central part of Obama's health care law, was expanding it, right? So,
right.
So Ryan's budget would repeal that expansion along with the rest
and,
of the law. Right.
And decimate what's already in place. And just so people understand, like, we're talking about people who make so little money.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah,
again,
well,
here's the thing, like, oh, this is just slackers and just people.
No,
yeah.
These are people really struggling. I mean, we did a story about this yesterday. There's the five Republican governors who are most adamant about not taking advantage of the Medicaid expansion. Louisiana and Texas, you're too qualified if you make more than $5,000 a year.
Wow. Right.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, this is the, what
regardless of how many children you have, regardless
right.
of how you
think about this,
whether your job was moved overseas.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
In many states, eligibility requirements are extremely tight. And for example, 30 states don't allow coverage for parents who earn more than $9,500 a year. How does that make? How can you survive on that anywhere?
Here's the thing, though. This is not an accident. On behalf of these particular Republican governors, there is an activity which is lower the social safety net in your state to the absolute bare minimum so mm-hmm. that your poor have no choice but to move to a state with a higher outlay. That's their goal. They literally, this is their version of firing the poor.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, Jackie, that's the reason. This is just those are just stunning numbers to even talk about, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does. If you want to talk about exacerbating the sense of class warfare, I mean, there really is nothing to this Ryan budget fantasy land plan that doesn't reek from let's not take care of each other.
Yeah,
it's get mine. It's the very Ayn Rand selfish. You know,
well, and it assumes
to the victor goes the spoils
right.
and forget the sense of community. I mean, it just reeks from it on every level, and Medicaid is a big part of that.
Right.
Sorry, did you want to speak on your own?
That's all right. No, that's all right. Listen, you wind up the healthcare geek, and there is no No, but I mean, it assumes that you know, older seniors don't give a crap about their daughters or, you know what I mean, or sons or younger people that are going to be hurt by this, right?
I mean, I don't know that they're trying to necessarily play one off of each other, but people do have to understand that when you say that we're changing Medicare to save money within Medicare and then reapplying that money within the healthcare system, some of that is allocated to Medicare and some of that's being allocated to help out with other parts of healthcare for our country, like Medicaid expansion, like subsidies within the insurance exchange. So it is very much a sense of community. It's not robbing Medicare to pay for Obamacare, which is what they're saying. It's finding savings within a system that is wrought with waste and fraud.
Right.
And here's the bonus for people that will be losing their Medicaid is he's raising taxes on poor people and middle-class people. I mean, it is almost breathtaking, isn't it?
How far can you make no money go?
Right.
Really, can you live on a nickel? Is that good enough?
Oh, I did it in college. It can be done. It's hard.
He's the power of ramen noodles.
Yeah.
I know it's no bounds.
I think ramen noodles have gone up, actually.
Yeah, since then, yeah, I think so.
All right. Jackie Scheckner, BFF healthcare queen. Thank you, honey.
Oh, my pleasure.
See you at the top of the hour.
You got it.
All right. All right, we almost had her for the hour.
Yeah.
We have so many questions on healthcare. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm walking on sunshine. Not literally. It means that I'm happy. Postcoitally, it was on a school night.
That song needed no lyrical improvement.
That's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, Jim, who said individual rights are not subject to a public vote? A majority has no right to vote away the rights of the minority. The political function of rights is precisely to protect minorities from oppression by majorities.
Come on, Goering.
No, Ayn Rand. I guess that means Paul Ryan's going to come out in support of gay marriage, then, isn't he?
Ayn Rand was also pro-choice.
Huh.
I wonder if that's ever crossed.
One would also believe that a true libertarian or a true individualist would not care whether gay people got married, especially if it was based on your religious beliefs, because she didn't have any.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, someone pointed out yesterday that for an anti-marriage equality ticket, how come they look like the top of a gay wedding cake?
Yes.
Just saying.
They're
a little bit of bromancy.
They're both exceedingly neat and tidy.
Okay. Let's get some, not so fun facts. But,
marvelous.
Yeah.
It's very sit-up friendly.
Yeah, it just, when you hear the details, it's because you'd forgotten, right? Because we talked about it back when he introduced it. It's just the fact that he was chosen vice presidential candidate, I guess based on this, is really... Ryan's plan would keep the tax cuts enacted under George Bush and add an additional $4.5 trillion over the next decade. Over the next... What?
Through the deficit.
Not all Americans, though, Jim, would get a tax cut, surprisingly.
Oh, really?
The plan would repeal tax breaks for low-income families with children and other changes adopted in 2009 under Obama.
Well,
the net result,
welfare queens and Cadillacs.
A tax increase for the bottom fifth of households and a huge tax cut at the top.
Huge.
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 According to the Tax Policy Center, which is not a Democratic analysis. John Sununu, it's a nonpartisan Washington think tank. Among households earning between $10,000 and $20,000 a year, how about that? About one in five would get a tax increase, averaging over $1,000. Households earning more than $1 million a year would get nearly 40% of the benefits of the plan, with a cut averaging $265,000 a year.
Wow.
Doesn't that work out well for you all? Wow. The tax cuts would reduce overall federal revenue far below the level of spending that Ryan would allow. The result would be a very large deficit, larger than Obama envisions. Wow. So it increases the deficit. Mm-hmm. He would increase the military budget by $300 billion over the decade.
Yes, because we're not spending enough.
Food stamps. like Medicaid, the food stamp program would become a grant to the states. Pell grants for college students would be capped. Worker training programs.
Yeah, basically, all we're going to do is jack up the military so we can protect this pile of rubble.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like literally no infrastructure, no education,
no people,
public works.
No people because they're going to die.
Right, yes. Exactly. No, illness,
have
the disease
military.
Protected.
The president
and
talking about all this on the campaign.
Governor Romney and his allies in Congress, they think that if we just get rid of more regulations on big corporations and give more tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans... If we end Medicare as we know it, make it a voucher system, then somehow this is all going to lead to jobs and prosperity for everybody.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the most important thing in the world is what Joe Biden said.
CNN has concentrated on this ad nauseum.
Can I just say I love how
this
much it makes them lose
CNN.
Their... The right wing. I heard Rush Limbaugh yesterday. Just I thought he was going to explode right off the top of the show. Did you hear what Joe Biden said? Cookies getting the audio right now.
Explode like Mr. Creosote. Explode like Mr. Creosote.
Get a bucket.
Yeah.
We'll throw up.
Here's what Joe Biden said.
Romney wants to let the. He said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street.
That's what he said.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
He was using their language against them.
How dare you quote us?
Throwing it back at their wall.
This is the party, like, pick a day of the week and something horribly racist they've said about President Obama.
Yeah.
Really? This was like, you know.
Oh, it demeans the presidency. Oh, the White House has just sunk lower.
Uh-huh. Just ask Sheldon Adelson. He'll tell you how demeaning the president has been to the process.
I think Mitt Romney is losing it. I think the reaction to his Ryan pick, David Axelrod called him unhinged, but he really was.
Yeah.
What was he talking about? The president has to stop this horrible hatred, mean, nasty, what?
You mean letting people talk about their experience with Bain Capital?
Yes, and that's a super PAC. Romney has yet to repudiate one ad by one super PAC on behalf of him.
That's right.
I'm like, I don't
Beyond that, there are certain ones that are running about his taxes and about his business and stuff that he hasn't touched at all because he doesn't want to draw undue attention to it because it's completely factual. One of the things he didn't file was his federal banking paperwork that goes with his taxes.
Oh, dear.
You know, his 2010, you know, he's talked about how he's released 1 year. He's going to release another. Okay. His 2010 ones that he released are incomplete, and they leave out details about his foreign holdings, including his Swiss bank account.
Yeah.
You don't need to know about that.
No.
Right. Because it only
People have all you need to know.
Yes. Uh-huh. It only includes elements about the ones that were interest earned, as opposed to the ones you use as shells to protect secondary investments from anything that doesn't involve
By the way, speaking of things that seem racist, how about Ann Romney saying to a black reporter, you need to see about our finances?
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
See how it is in that household.
Here's the thing.
Dick in Florida. Dick, welcome, Dick. Hello. Hi, Dick.
Good morning.
That's a rare statement.
Good morning.
Sorry.
Good morning, yes. Look, I'm a leftist author of a philosophic bent. And I just think that the leftists are making a are missing a point, an advantage that they could have rhetorically in mentioning Ayn Rand.
Okay.
Hale Howe mentioned something about this, I'd like to emphasize it. The chief defense of her philosophy is not in her novels, but rather in her later book of essays entitled The Virtue of Selfishness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I think it's important that every time anyone mentions her, this book should also be mentioned, because the title reflects the essential flaw in the particular form of individualism she espoused.
That's a great point. Because objectivism actually sounds like, oh, that seems reasonable.
Sounds nice,
be objective,
yeah.
Which is not at all what she does, by the way. Atlas Shrugged has a lot of serendipitous and fateful moments in it, mm-hmm. which speak to something, a greater hand working, the greater hand of liberty being right. a version of God that she just kind of makes up in her novels.
Sure.
But the Virtue of Selfishness is actually the treatise on, basically, for all the people who didn't want to read Atlas Shrugged, because
it's a thing. From the Adams family.
Yes, exactly.
It's a hand. It's not a
yes,
hand of
there's
God.
A hand
it's
of,
just a
she,
hand.
She doesn't believe in God or anything abstract, no. but she believes in the hand of fate because her ideals
which
are so strong.
Which is essentially God.
Fate, yeah, which fate will
Hello,
tilt things
I
in your
like
favor.
I would like to take your Medicare. Thank you, Thing. All right.
But she arguably believes in the secret more than she believes in God, but it's the same kind of idea. You know.
Here is the zombie-eyed Granny Starper now, Paul.
We have seen a failure of leadership. A failure of leadership. To get the economy growing, to create jobs, to get our spending and debt and deficit under control. What Mitt Romney and I are offering
is a plan to
the
make
the Romney-Ryan plan for a stronger middle class uh-huh. is designed to get people back to work.
Right.
It's designed to create jobs.
Sure.
If we get this economy growing like right. we know we can, we uh-huh. create 12 million jobs
oh,
in 4 years.
Come on.
Hear that?
His voice is a couple of octaves higher than a normal man's.
I love how he snuck in Ryan Plan in there.
Right.
You know, he called it Romney Ryan Plan, but in many ways, this guy is seeding his political future. Keep in mind, by the way,
he looks like Eddie Munster, but he sounds a little like Who Do We Decide? Later Beaver?
Later Beaver,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
after his voice changed.
With a Haskell-esque energy to him. But
Wally, because a little like, goof. President Obama, you big goof.
Let's keep in mind also that Romney had proposed this idea that you have to have at least 3 years of private sector
right.
Experience right. to be viable as a presidential candidate, and Ryan would not qualify.
Right.
Let's
no.
also keep in mind that he's been involved
but
in
But now that's
in,
not important
in,
now.
Yeah, he's been involved in Congress and or serving in Congress since 1991.
Yeah, we said this yesterday that he actually, even his introduction was a lie. He said he put aside the plans that he had and selflessly decided to serve. Those were his plans. He majored in political science. He was working in Washington when he was in college.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? He put aside what plans?
He put aside any plan.
Yes, yes.
Put
he put aside his own ambition.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
By the way, and that college, by the way, where he studied political science to get his political job later on that he would run for national office when mm-hmm. he said he never would, was actually funded by Social Security. He was, you know, he
right.
used Social Security funds because his
yes.
father passed away
yes. mm-hmm.
and he received SSI and he used that
insurance
to pay for his college.
Now here is Wally Cleaver again on how the president is doing stuff wrong and junk.
Mm-mm.
You big goof.
I think the president himself is a good family man. We have a very different idea of how to take this country forward. The president has given us utter failure when it comes to creating jobs
no.
and bringing fiscal discipline to Washington. If we stick with the same plan, we'll get more of the same results. More taxing, more spending, more borrowing, more regulating. And I think we have a different vision. We are offering solutions.
Sure you are.
Mm. Andy in Florida.
Final solution.
Hi, Andy. Oh, my God, that's your second Hitler reference of the morning. Good. Okay.
Good
Hello,
morning.
Andy. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
I love you, girl, because you love your critters.
And I do.
I have two critters myself, both rescue critters.
Yeah.
Lily and Sweet Pea, and they come from a long line of fence jumpers.
Okay. All right.
What I wanted to say is I think we need to look at the education records of Romney and Ryan, because they must have flunked biology. One of them thinks that corporations are people, and the other one thinks that a fertilized egg is a person.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Maybe we can get the Koch brothers to send them to summer school.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're the
third
girl in class. That was zippy. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Back more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine. Why? I'm doing? Not getting any offers or any other kind.
Bangkok. Murray Head.
Murray Head.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's the name. Yeah,
yeah, what you do?
From the musical Chess that never quite made it or whatever.
No, it played for a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It didn't really... That was a legit hit, but...
I'm looking for some kicks below the waistline, by the way, FYI. Anybody in From Columbus? Instagram? You know, whatever happened to Columbus stays in Columbus.
That's so not true.
Mama needs all shot.
But just from the ladies, right?
Yeah.
All the single ladies.
Doesn't matter. All the something ladies.
All the something ladies.
Oh, looky here. In an interview set to air tomorrow, Ann Romney says there will not be any more tax returns delays.
You people.
We've been very transparent as to what's legally required of us.
Yeah, you're transparent, all right.
There's going to be no more tax releases given.
Wow.
Not even the 2011 then?
Don't you feel like you're the help just like standing there too long?
Yeah.
He's just like...
Yeah.
She
takes the bell on the table just...
Ding-ling-ling-ling. There are too many Americans in my living room.
Off with you.
Ding-ling-ling-ling-ling. Where did these hungry hordes come from? Ding-ling-ling-ling-ling. Ding-ling. Oh, this place is staunchly middle class. The smell is overwhelming. Ding-ling-ling-ling.
Like the dinner scene from Seems Like Old Times.
Yes, right. Take it on the heel and toe, you ruffians. Ding, ling, 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 ling. Beat it.
It's more like a scene from The Help.
Yeah.
Yes. Have some pie, Mrs. Romney.
Romney campaign releases. House. Yeah.
You don't let him use the regular bathroom in there, do you?
And Romney and Mitt Romney release a statement to the American public. Scram!
And meanwhile, I think the president making some very good points on energy, on health care, on Medicare, and of course they're just losing it that he made a dog joke. Oh, no!
How dare he!
The president yesterday.
Governor Romney said, let's end the tax credits for wind energy production. Let's get rid of them. He said that new sources of energy... like wind, are imaginary. His running mate calls them a fad.
Here it comes in the big finish the president went on to talk about. Okay.
During a speech a few months ago, Governor Romney even explained his energy policy this way. I'm quoting here. You can't drive a car with a windmill on it. That's what he said about wind power. You can't drive a car with a windmill on it. Now, I don't know if he's actually tried that. I know he's had other things on his car.
Yeah. How dare you? Negative campaigning.
Oh, my God.
How dare you bring up things I've done?
This
is completely
unfair.
I'll be
on the fainting couch.
This is a campaign based on hate.
I think,
Jim, you mentioned earlier.
My stars.
Is he just going to whine like a little biatch?
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what kind of joke.
You're not allowed to
bring... Romney was on CBS this morning. He said that Obama is running a hateful campaign.
Hateful. Yeah. Horrible.
Because
he mentioned the dog.
How is bringing up the fact...
By the way, several reporters have brought that up with Romney because it's true.
Yeah.
Right. And the windmill on the car
is almost dumber than strapping your dog. Yeah. I mean, the cruelty aspect... Almost nothing is crueler than strapping an animal in a crate to the top of your car and driving at high speeds with no protection for the animal. But the idea that you actually think that statement about the windmill on the car is actually funny or makes a good point is completely stupid.
Yep.
Right. Mittens on how the president's fighting a war on coal.
What?
You probably heard the president say he's for all of the above. And I wondered what he meant, because I see how he's been waging war on coal. And I wondered, how could he possibly say that? Then it came to me. He's for all the sources of energy that come from above the ground.
Yeah. And?
is that a problem?
Yeah.
Wow, did you see this one? Boehner's office says Obama is avoiding personal responsibility for the drought. Apparently, his fault
it's
as well.
It's Obama's fault,
On its website and in an email.
Well, as the Antichrist, let's be honest, anytime Obama walks by flowers, they die.
Right.
And O Fortuna plays. And then all the flowers die. You've seen it. That's why I can't do stuff from the Rose Garden anymore. Because all of them are wilting behind him.
Because,
and
on its
horns
website
appear
in an email on Monday, Speaker Boehner's office said President Obama needs to take personal responsibility for the drought now ravaging the Midwest. Obama, quote, continues to blame anyone and everyone for the drought but himself, reads a release.
Global warming is responsible for the drought.
Republicans are responsible for blocking relief for the drought. Is that what he means?
No. Yeah, because that would bring up
Congress. Are you sure it's not Wagner that plays? The president walks by flowers and
the world. I love the smell of victory in the morning. Yeah.
That's not Wagner.
Right.
It's not? Oh, well. I don't know my classical music.
I think it's that creepy music Sean Hannity plays in the beginning of his show. That whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
Either way, arguably, maybe Boehner, excuse me.
Boehner.
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 We're going to find the real, Boehner, pronunciation one day.
It's Boehner.
Boehner. But I think maybe he's orange because. Yeah, thank you.
Furrier.
H-F-U-H-F.
Dr. Furrier, it's off hard.
Sherry in Ohio, go ahead. Hi, Sherry. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, if you take Romney's last name, there's 666 in it. Who's the Antichrist?
And he is orange, by the way. If he stands, maybe that's because he's been standing near Obama. And it's
okay.
Yes. And Paul Ryan, you couldn't get through that lustrous widow's peak to find if there's any numbers on there, could you?
Oh, but he's Kendall.
Yeah.
And then Romney's Kendall's dad.
Yeah.
And they're so plastic and shiny on the outside and hollow on the inside.
Yep. Right.
And if you flip them over and look on their butt, I bet it's stamped tadpole.
Oh, look at what you did there. I did that by accident. I called Rummy a tax hole. I didn't mean to.
But it was funny.
Because he doesn't want to close any tax loopholes, and I melded the words as a tax hole.
I think it's a good one.
Okay, I like it.
My favorite thing is, did you see the talking points they released when Ryan, when they announced Ryan? They gave out this thing to reporters, like, how are you going to deal with some of these big questions?
Yeah.
So they just pre-printed some answers and sent them out.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't ask these stupid questions out loud, so we wouldn't have to answer them out loud.
Right.
And one of them was, when the Romney plan comes out for the budget, they will ask two important questions. One, can we afford it? And two, if we can't afford it, should we borrow money from China to pay for it?
How badly should we screw the poor?
Like, they're going to have this 1930s, steno pool kind of bunch of ratcheting accountants who will, grab a cone and speak into it. Ah, Mr. Romney,
green visors
can
on.
We afford it? No, we cannot. Should we borrow money from China? Absolutely not. Sorry, poor people.
Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Patrice.
Decision-making process.
Hey, Steph. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Two quick things. Number one, Romney picking Ryan illustrates two things. It was a sign of weakness. He did it out of weakness. He made that pick out of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And it also shows that Romney is in deep trouble and the Republican Party as a whole is in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Number two, the whole Biden situation with what he said. This is nothing more than a distraction. They're trying to play racial politics, and there's nothing racial about what Biden said. What he said was the truth.
Yeah.
And he was basically using their terminology
to
make that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was clearly, he started the sentence by quoting them, saying they're going to unchain Wall Street and whatever. So,
by the way, you were right. It's Rite of the Valkyries by Wagner. Wagner.
Thank you. Yes. See, that's what I was thinking.
Rite of the Valkyries by Wagner.
Well, I was right?
Yes, you were.
Oh, hey! Whoa.
What?
That's
Wagner.
Never happened before.
When does that ever happen? Coming up after the top of the hour, Jim... Hello, FDR's grandson.
Wow.
What? I know a little something.
And he's the
Medicare.
President of a health plan. So
right.
Interesting. He knows a lot about health care.
Right. It's health care geek extravaganza day here on the Stephanie Miller Show. 58 minutes after the hour. We'll be back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks.
Hiya.
Hal Sparks will be at the Magic Bag, baby.
Yeah, in Ferndale,
Friday.
Michigan.
Bag,
this Friday night. Two shows only, one night only. And then the next morning, I do my radio show, and then I drive straight to Columbus.
To where?
The
show. To
yeah,
Columbus.
Hey, Columbus, we've got the cure for what makes you K-sick.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal crew are coming to the Capitol Theater on August 18th.
What a fun, sexy time for you.
Join comedic geniuses Hal Sparks. John Fugelsang.
Fox News is like a mecca for people who hate mecca.
And talk radio goddess Stephanie Miller.
It's the most action I've had in I don't know how long.
As they help Columbus rediscover its funny bone.
Who's laughing now, huh? I'll tell you who's laughing now. We are!
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, at the Kappa Ticket Office, or by calling 800-745-3000. This is truly the show that will put the back in Ohio. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, coming to the Capitol Theater on August 18th. Buckeye State, you're going to love our nuts.
You're going to love my nuts.
Oh, yeah.
The
swing state's going to get a lot swingier on Saturday.
Absolutely.
By I'm the not way, entirely sure that that's true, that there are tickets still available. However,
by the way, Pittsburgh Pirates,
director,
go Bucks.
Yeah, okay. In honor of Columbus, 18 electoral votes, there are 18 tickets available at $18. Those may be gone, but go check it out. Go to Ticketmaster, type in sexy in the code box, or go right to the box office. There might be, those are the last tickets. I don't know if there's any of those even left, but go ahead. Good.
Give it a try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't hurt.
Give it a try. James Roosevelt Jr., why is that name so familiar, Jim?
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Well, I bet you that's the best one he's heard.
My birthday, and no one remembers.
No, no.
Right. The grandson of Franklin D. Roosevelt and current president and chief executive officer of Tusk Health Plan joins us now. James, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Thanks so much for taking time for us. Are you in Pennsylvania right now campaigning for the president?
I am. I'm in Washington, Pennsylvania right now, actually.
Oh, cool.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, we've obviously all been talking about how breathtakingly bad Paul Ryan's Medicare plan is. Let's talk about that. You obviously have an interesting historical perspective on it.
Well, it's startling how bad his Medicare plan is. It basically what it says to people is, you know what? We're going to decide that you can spend a certain amount of money, about half of what Medicare spends right now, and then you're out of luck after that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
And it gets worse over time, eventually
yes, to
nothing, essentially. Yeah.
The original draft. A very small percentage, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Well, I mean, and it's interesting how, from your grandfather's day, I love when people say entitlements. The reason that word's in there is because we are entitled to it. We've paid into it. And somehow these current Republicans have turned this into some sort of, like all those people are just slackers living off the government teat, right?
Well, they try to make that a dirty word. What they're really talking about is an earned benefit.
Right.
That people pay for when they work.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's interesting. We did a lot of focus on Medicare, but I was just reading another piece, Ryan's controversial Social Security plan he doesn't discuss anymore. He obviously was also for this privatization scheme of Social Security, right? After legislation he co-sponsored in 2005 went nowhere, he included a detailed plan to privatize Social Security in his budget proposal in 2010. Romney, of course, has also voiced support for private accounts. And now lately that's never happened, right?
Well, all of a sudden, in the last 48 hours, it never happened. But in fact, it's very clearly on record. It was not just a policy proposal. It was passed by the Republican House of Representatives two times.
Right. Right. And as many of us have said, James, imagine what would have happened with what's happened with the stock market if we had allowed seniors to gamble away all of their retirement in the stock market.
It's amazing that Romney and Ryan could still support privatization when people can see in 2008 what happened. They would have lost half of their retirement.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's seriously breathtakingly bad. I mean, it's privatizing Medicare. It's the same idea, his whole voucher thing, isn't it?
It's very much the same idea. And it basically goes to do we think people should have a fundamentally decent standard of living, or just take their chances?
Uh-oh, is that Paul Ryan backing up his truck to raid the Medicare vault?
I may be in danger here, yeah.
Look out, he's coming to get all the Medicare money.
All right.
So, I mean, but more broadly, we were talking about his budget in general, James, and it really, I mean, it is incredible how to what a degree it places the burden on the middle class and on seniors. I mean, just shocking, to a shocking degree, right?
Well, it's really, it shifts all the risk of changes in the economy to the individual. Instead of saying that all of us, whether we're in the 1% or the 99%, whether we're working, whether we're retired, we all deserve a decent assurance of both health care and retirement or care for disabled.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that's incredible is we were saying it's pretty nifty trick to come up with something that both, you know, every religious leader hates, Paul Krugman hates, Reagan's budget director hates, Donald Trump hates. I mean, this plan, it's just, I mean, it really is incredibly bad, isn't it?
Well, Congressman Ryan makes a big point of his allegiance to some of the principles of the Catholic Church. The Catholic bishops have said that Congressman Ryan's budget is morally flawed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many R's in their campaign already, but radical is the one that I think you can't say enough, because in terms of tax cuts for the rich, I mean, it's more than Romney wants to give tax cuts, it's more than George Bush. I mean, it is so extreme, I don't think people really even realize it yet, do you?
I don't think they realize it yet. I think it's. I think that's one of the reasons I'm here in Pennsylvania today, is to help people realize how radical this Romney-Ryan ticket is, as opposed to President Obama and Joe Biden, who have been rebuilding our economy by creating private sector jobs month after month, by rebuilding the automobile industry, and by really building on the strong traditions that we have in this country. Frankly, I don't think there has been a ticket as radical as the Romney-Ryan ticket since the Goldwater ticket.
You realize my dad was on that ticket, right?
I was getting to that.
I was hoping that wasn't a faux pas.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I'm old enough to remember what that ticket stood for.
Right.
Now, in that case, the vice president was the less radical of the two, but he still was with Barry Goldwater. In this case, the vice president makes clear how radical Romney is.
Well, I mean, I was just saying today, James, that to me, this is the perfect example of how far right this Republican Party has gone. When you have Reagan, first of all, every single one of them cited Reagan 1,000 times in the primaries, right? Reagan's budget director came out today in a top ed and said the Paul Ryan budget is just crap. I mean, it's like, how much more can you, you know?
I read his piece, David Stockman's piece,
right,
and he
right.
basically says, that not only is the Ryan budget, which Romney fully supports, not only is it radical, it's also just bad math. It's got huge tax cuts for the rich that are much greater even than the huge benefit cuts for the poor.
Yeah, and I
and
you know,
middle class.
I don't know, James, if you also saw in the New York Times, somebody sent me earlier, Nate Silver's, you know, they did historical ranking of all the vice presidents selected, I mean, Democratic and Republican in history, and Paul Ryan is the most conservative, even more conservative than Dick Cheney. I mean, so, and that's provable, I think, on votes in Congress. My dad, interestingly, is almost, I think, is third from the most liberal of the, you know, in terms of his voting record of the vice presidential candidates in history. I mean, what does that tell you?
That tells you how the Republican Party has changed over 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tells you that under Romney Ryan, we have a lot more to fear than fear itself.
Yeah, I think it was Henry Cabot Lodge, George H.W. Bush, and Nixon were the only voting records more liberal than my dad. My dad is almost at the level of Democratic vice presidential candidates.
Well, that's increasingly true of a lot of Republicans, even from the Reagan era, is that they, you know, their party has jerked so far to the right that they appear centrist, arguably, by comparison, and that's amazing. Considering how when those things were considered.
We all get in these arguments. I'm sure this happens with you, James, like arguing what people who are long dead would think now, like, you know, very, you know, Republican or Democratic leaders on either side. And
do get asked that, yes.
Yeah.
That
right. But you know, when Reagan's budget director says Reagan would think this is crap, like that's a pretty compelling argument, isn't it?
Pretty significant, especially since he's the fellow who had to do the analysis of Reagan's proposals. And now when he analyzes Romney and Ryan's proposals, he thinks that they are way off the charts.
Right, absolutely. James, what a great opportunity to talk to you today. Mm-hmm. Is this really, really important? I mean, as we have candidates literally trying to undo everything your grandfather did in one, mm-hmm.
yeah.
as Newt Gingrich would say, right-wing social
engineering,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But thank you so much for taking time for us and for all the great work you're doing
on
healthcare.
I always enjoy listening to the show. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much, James. Talk to you again real soon.
Okay.
All right, there he goes, James Roosevelt Jr.
Yeah, to quote another Roosevelt, Romney and Ryan are malefactors of great wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently James Roosevelt is a fan of the fart joke.
Apparently.
Because he listens to this show.
There you go.
All right, 17 minutes.
Sometimes you listen around them.
Okay. Well, there's
as an audience member. I'm just saying.
They're like peas. Just if you don't like them, don't
yeah, just push them to the side. Aside.
Just wait. Just wait. Something else will be along
or
in a second.
Feed them to the dogs.
I would be one of those people.
Fart joke? Senator. Fart joke? Senator. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Who's this?
The Who.
See
who?
What I did?
Who?
See?
Who? 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Terry writes, Steph, very excited about NYC, October 27th. Mm-hmm. It's the sexy liberal palooza.
Well,
Mel
yeah.
and Aisha and John and I and a
shame the tickets aren't selling.
Huge celebrity names to be named later mm-hmm. on the panel.
Yep.
And lots of big, we can't say, big politicians' offices have already called for tickets.
Well, that's
everyone that's anyone's going to be there.
It's going to be exciting. The last show before the election.
I thought it's after. No, it is before the election.
October 27th. Yeah, that's a big one. Terry writes, Steph, very excited about NYC. Would you be willing to forward me Al Gore's email address?
Computer says no.
No.
Do you even have Al Gore's email address?
AlGore@current.com. I'm fairly certain it'll get to him.
I would like to ask him to pony up some cash so Jim, Chris, and Jackie can be there. Oh, well. All right.
Yeah, I don't travel well.
There is rumors of Jackie Schechner's mom coming up from Florida or something.
Whatever.
This could be, you know.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Uh-oh. We can all take photos.
Every time I see Steph's face, it reminds me of a sexy liberal show. But all she's happening through the teabagging display. I can't get used to drinking wine from a box or snorting it out of my nose.
Woohoo! Okay. Thank you, Rocky Mountain. Rocky Mountain Mike's going to be in Columbus in the audience this weekend.
Speaking of photographs, you got to check out the Twitter picture of Romney Ryan in incredibly gay pose. It's
they've been superimposed. And we mean super.
Super.
Thanks for asking.
They both look cute in those hats. Okay. Paul super. In Houston writes, Stephen the Mooks, I'm a recovering conservative in Red Owl, Texas. I work around morons that think the president is a Kenyan Muslim terrorist. What gets me through the day is my Stephcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance, which I play as loud as possible. They abhor you, and I giggle and with glee because they're so going to lose this election. Paul in Houston, the dads of Kitty's Marrying Christmas.
It's a Kitty's
Marrying
Christmas.
Christmas.
Really?
Kids. Marrying Christmas. Hey, speaking of kitties, guess what's in Griffith Park right near where I live? A mountain lion.
Yeah.
A cougar, if you will.
A cougar. Yeah,
not me.
What are the
odds? Not me. There's a mountain lion. It's just confirmed in the LA Times yesterday.
Imagine
what's
that in the mountains.
lion.
The LA Times caught up with some people hiking and said, let's see, Jennifer somebody brought her mother who was visiting. News of a mountain lion struck her as a healthy part of nature. Well, sure, Jennifer.
Well, it's a
Jilly eats your head, and I find it rolling around in the Hollywood Hills while I'm hiking with my dogs, Jennifer.
Yeah, but
a healthy part of nature.
No, but you're invading its territory by going into the rural-ish mountains of the park, Stephanie.
Whatever.
That's not your park. That's actually his park.
Thank God we have affordable care.
And two giant, monstrous dogs to fight it off like some sort of Hulk episode without the actual Hulk showing up. Remember the second Hulk movie with the attack of the...
Particularly the violent dogs? Episode of Narnia.
Yeah, right.
Your dogs would try to lick it to death.
Yeah.
Let's play.
Hump it to death.
Look at you, kitty. Okay. Mitt Romney.
When he ran for office, he said he'd protect Medicare.
Oh, you.
But did you know that he has taken $716 billion
oh my God,
out
Mitt.
Of the Medicare trust fund?
Oh, that's
He's
awful.
Raided that trust fund.
No.
And you know what he did with it? He's used it to pay for Obamacare.
Oh, my God.
Shocking.
Oh, no, Mitt.
Shocking. Taking health care funds to pay for health care.
He took wasteful funds spent near the end of life and put them in the middle to prolong life in the first place.
God.
Yes, exactly.
Preventative
and FYI,
care so you don't have
Paul
to treat
Ryan
people when they're already
sick. Paul
Ryan
would keep those cuts to pay for tax cuts for the rich.
Right.
And then slash it further with a machete. That's what he'd do.
Yes. While never touching defense ever
By
at all.
Way, this
even
is...
crap like the Harrier jet with engines on the top that push it down into the earth. He wouldn't, I don't know, we'd come up with a battleship that's porous. We're going to reinvent floating.
I know. A submarine that won't surface.
Yeah,
this is
right.
what we get for trying to work with the likes of Paul Ryan. Remember someone called yesterday about this, about their Senator Ron Wyden. Romney touted the Wyden-Ryan partnership on Saturday. First of all, it wasn't a bill. It was a sort of an idea paper that they tried to work on together. He said Ryan had found a Democrat to co-lead a piece of legislation to save Medicare. Wyden issued a statement to rebut Romney. He said Romney is talking nonsense. Bipartisanship requires that you not make up the facts. I did not co-lead a piece of legislation. I wrote a policy paper on options for Medicare. Several months after the paper came out, I spoke and voted against the Medicare provisions in the Ryan budget. Governor Romney needs to learn you don't protect seniors by making things up, and his comments today sure won't help promote real bipartisanship. That was a very polite loading of the liar cannon by Senator Wyden there.
Right.
Liar, 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 liar. I'm sick and tired of lies from you. We're going to hear this again. He emphasized that Wyden-Ryan was not a finished piece of legislation, simply a policy paper intended to start a conversation about how Democrats and Republicans could restructure Medicare. He complained that Ryan and other Republicans made a mistake trying to alter Medicaid. He said by block granting Medicaid, they run the risk of the most vulnerable seniors, the seniors who need nursing home care that is paid for by Medicaid. And since Medicaid's a federal state program, by block granting it, we put at risk the most vulnerable seniors. Because Ron Wyden is a good guy, and it's too bad he got, you know, now they're going to use him as, how Paul Ryan is such a uniter.
I guess, but let's be honest. Let them align themselves with Ron Wyden to make a point and then go, okay, then stand by other things that Ron Wyden says. If you think you're in agreement with things that he's put forward or you think you've got a bipartisan friend in Ron Wyden, then please, by all means, invite Ron Wyden to one of your campaign events to stand on the dais with you and explain what you guys both share in common.
Yeah.
That I would love
That'll
to
be
see.
A short conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Non-existent is the word.
29 minutes after the hour, we got Right Wing World, we got Celebrity Stack.
We haven't done either one of those yet?
Stuff.
Crazy.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, boy, Celebrity Stack. Super.
Stephanie Miller.
How may I, in all humble servitude, be of assistance?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after you. That's right, sexy liberal Lily Tomlin, who did panel with us along with Rob Reiner in L.A. That's Pantages.
Whoa.
I was at Meltdown Comics yesterday, and I bought an old magazine about Lily Tomlin's new movie, The Incredible Shrinking Woman. It was like this old vintage thing.
Favorite
I'm totally
going
to get her to sign it. Yeah, I'm totally going to get her to sign
it. My favorite movie ever.
Which, by the way, an early...
Did I ever reenact that dork scene? I was at a dinner party sitting next to Lily Tomlin, and I literally all night was like, remember the time when you fell in the garbage and smoked all of your... Gender was Shrinking Woman, and you...
By the way,
an
early pro-EPA movie.
It was.
Because it was about all the toxic stuff and all of our food that was showing up all at once and nobody doing anything about it. Nobody knew what the combinations of them would do.
That's right.
So the whole point is about this thing has a bad chemical and this thing has a bad chemical.
Jane Wagner was really smart when she wrote that screenplay.
She was.
The point is, she's really tiny. She fell down the garbage disposal.
Shut up.
Hit her, and she couldn't get out.
I don't have to see it now.
And Concepcion couldn't hear it because the music was so loud, and she was dancing around the kitchen.
Yes. Okay, let's dive into
it. Spoiler alert.
Let's dive into the Right Wing World.
Oh, God, such a dork.
It's going to be a good one. I can just tell. Right Wing World is going to be good.
She ever shows up for me. 20 years I've known her, and I'm always like, oh, my God, it's Lily Tomlin. Remember that time? Piss off, I'm a doctor.
Why am I talking to you? Piss off.
All right. Bill O'Reilly.
Predictably, the American left is attacking Congressman Ryan. They say he's an extremist, insensitive to the poor, brutal to the elderly.
Check.
While Mr. Ryan looks like a nice guy, liberals are painting him as a political Bernie Madoff. But as I said last night, I believe Mitt Romney made a smart selection in Paul Ryan.
Sure, okay.
The congressman well understands that America's in trouble. He's thought about solving the very complex economic problems that face us. And whether you like his viewpoint or not, he's responsible and patriotic.
Yes, he's serious.
Oh, yeah. Was he just assuming that Obama was not responsible and patriotic?
Right.
He's just subtly.
Yeah. Notice this.
Bastard.
He sounded drunk.
All of his responses when he's responsible all affect people who have the least amount of recourse and ability to fend for themselves.
That wouldn't surprise me. It's like everyone at Fox News is so resigned about this election. They're all just slamming him back. That's probably how I got booked on Hannity for Tuesday, because he's probably...
And by the way...
He's probably drunk. He doesn't care anymore.
By the way, he's wrong. It's not a political Bernie Madoff. It is a political Jack Abramoff. And an interesting tie that will be
Britt
getting
Hume
some sunlight.
On the Brit Bear.
Well, he's an unusual person. A relatively young man with quite a lot of experience. He has a very deep knowledge of the issues. He's very conversant with them. He explains the complex details in about as simple terms as they can be explained. He's very comfortable with all this. And he does this in a way that is strikingly cheerful. And he's personally quite appealing.
Well,
it's strikingly cheerful as he's starving your grandmother.
By the way,
really
Ron Paul.
Quite appealing.
Ron Paul comes across as a lovely, lovely man who would decimate the Department of Education, the EPA, the Food and Drug Administration, the CDC, National Institute of Health.
He throws grandma from the train in such a personally appealing
FEMA,
way.
Any emergency response we have, pretty much all the National Guard.
Grandma gets to see those.
But it's all happy.
Dreamy bedroom eyes right before she falls off the train.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Enjoy your cat food.
Pat Cadell, he's a Fox News Democrat.
That's right.
Yeah. That is one thing about the Ryan choice, which, while I think it's very politically problematical, I have to say, suddenly elevated above what the Democratic strategy, the White House, the Chicago gangster strategy of let's tear this person down.
Chicago. That's the Democrat that's calling the president's campaign Chicago gangster strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
He was slamming Clinton.
Well, Pat Cadell hasn't been a real Democrat since before Clinton.
Since Fox started paying them.
Yeah.
The Chicago gangster style of that analogy only kind of works in a 1950s. I'm meeting a foreigner. How will they know America? I'm from Chicago. Oh, Chicago, bang, bang. Like the Joe Flaherty character from Stripes. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, that's... People don't think of Chicago that way anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Chicago is a great city, very powerful, intellectual, creative, and financial hub in the United States.
Exactly.
There's much talk about moving the Dow there if there's any problems with New York over time.
Version of Chicago was freezed in the night Chicago died.
Exactly. Or in the Untouchables.
Back in Nevada.
You know, Chicago, Capone. Like, all right.
Dick, speaking of before Clinton, Dick Morris.
This is just an inspired pick. I think he'll destroy Joe Biden in the debate. I think that he'll energize the base. I think it ends the speculation of is Romney really a conservative or not. And I think it's terrific.
I just want to suck his toes. Suck his toenails right off. His sweaty P90X feet. Just lick them. Isn't he the one
All right, Greg Jarrett and that's it. Greg Jarrett and Martha McCullum, Fox News.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has been tapped to deliver the keynote address in Tampa later this month. Christie, of course, among the most sought-after speakers on the GOP circuit, and the keynote, one of the most coveted of all speaking slots. Chris Christie never fails to charge up the crowd, and Marco Rubio is quite eloquent out on the stump. If you've ever watched him deliver a speech, he really knows how to connect with the audience. Very charismatic. So probably good choices for the GOP.
Probably.
It's going to be very exciting.
Oh, my God.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
I'm already excited.
I just wonder what comes out when you tap Chris Christie.
Yeah. And how big a spigot do you need for that keg?
It's pure maple syrup.
Yep.
Well, he gets the crowd too excited. He may decide to dive into the mosh pit. That's exciting. Yeah. I mean, that would be exciting. There goes the Nevada delegation.
I just said maple syrup, but you didn't hear that.
I did hear it.
If the little ramp out to the little stand is too far, do you think Chris Christie will require a limousine ride to get him all the way to the end?
Probably.
Paid for by state funds?
I hope he does get them really excited. I hope he just into the mosh pit just in a...
Do you think the New Jersey taxpayer will be responsible for a Segway ride out to the end of the dais for him so that he doesn't have to walk to his position to give his...
Segway? You wouldn't even see it.
Simmer down.
What's he riding? Okay.
I'm not making points about his weight. I'm making points about his laziness. And there's distinct difference in those.
I had an eighth-grade teacher.
Yeah.
Teacher in Catholic school that was a little large.
Softing.
Yes.
Large Marge?
Yes, Miss Shorb. And she rode Shorb? Yes, and she rode her bike to school, and we used to comment that you couldn't actually see the bike.
I don't doubt it. And it's nice to know that your humor is not actually elevated past that point.
With a wheel under it. It was like just one little wheel is all you could see.
That would be a unicycle then, and that's an entirely different joke.
Take
a seat off and enjoy the ride.
Speaking of looking fit on a bicycle, it's Rush Limbaugh.
Oh. Propaganda versus truth. Which wins? Well, what was Hitler more concerned with?
Oh, here we go.
Propaganda. Did Hitler succeed for a time? Yeah, he did. What was Clinton more concerned with, truth or propaganda? What's Obama more concerned with, truth
Hitler.
Or propaganda?
Obama, Hitler, see?
Who would you say is winning? Is propaganda winning or truth winning? We, the virtuous ones in our society, we think truth wins. We have this investment in the truth. We think it's holy.
Oh, my God.
We think that it is profound, and we think it's persuasive.
Wow.
Why don't you use it? Do you keep it in a? Do you think it's so holy you keep it in some sort of a box that only certain priests can see?
Hitler.
That kind?
Obama, Hitler.
Obama, Clinton, Hitler. Oh, no. Hitler,
yeah.
Clinton,
Hitler.
Obama.
Right.
So Obama somehow came upon his Hitleriness via a Clinton-esque
take your
Hitler
organ out?
Jaunt. Yes.
Speaking on what we think is moral, why religious leaders have condemned the Ryan Romney budget? Not surprisingly.
That's propaganda. Propaganda is not truth.
Faith leaders condemned the Ryan budget and the philosophy behind it when it was first introduced. They have intensified their criticism when the House passed the Ryan budget this spring. Catholic nuns, priests, and friars. It's not often you get the friars to
talk.
No,
the friars never talk.
Called the Ryan budget immoral, a severe failure, and the height of hypocrisy.
Right.
Sister Simone Campbell, who led the 17 city nuns on the bus tour this summer to visit faith-based social service programs that would be hurt by the cuts proposed in the Ryan budget. Last week, her organization, I love this, invited Mitt Romney to spend a day with them visiting the poor in order to meet the people who'd be affected by their budget cuts. That'll happen. We agree with Catholic Bishop that Paul Ryan's budget fails the test of Catholic social teaching since it deliberately harms people at the economic margins. Catholic bishops have called the Ryan budget unjustified and wrong and failing a moral test. Wowee. So that means...
Yes, they don't even truth, my friend. Propaganda.
Here he is, the budget monster, though. He's saying, no, we're the ones that are trying to save Medicare.
We're going to save it.
We're the ones who are offering a plan to save Medicare, to protect Medicare, to strengthen Medicare.
Yeah.
We're the ones who are not raiding Medicare to pay for Obamacare.
We're the ones
who are repealing President Obama's 15-person bureaucratic board that will put price controls on Medicare that will lead to denied care for current seniors. We're the ones continuing the guarantee of Medicare for people in or near retirement. And you have to reform it for the younger generation in order to make the commitment stick for the current generation.
Yeah. By the way, meanwhile, remember he didn't have time to answer any questions at the Iowa
fair? He was just there for the fair. Okay, be fair yourself.
Guess who we did have time to answer questions for? Sheldon!
Sheldon!
He met behind closed doors.
Flagon Adelson.
For a,
That's his brother.
With donors and fundraisers in Las Vegas at the Venetian. The Venetian, owned by Sheldon.
Sheldon.
As he runs, by the way, as the VP of a man who can't gamble because of religious beliefs, to meet with a gambling magnate to get millions of dollars.
Who's under investigation.
And dark money.
Yes.
For prostitution related camp, activities in his Macau.
Yes. He's the Romney camp has allowed reporters to cover fundraisers as long as they're public venues and not at private residences, but an aide said the event in Las Vegas was different because it's not a fundraiser, it is a finance event.
What? How is that not a...
In which Sheldon Adelson just gives Paul Ryan a giant bag of cash with a dollar sign on it. And so that's not a fundraiser at all. It's entirely
Gene
different.
Simmons makes a mint on it because he owns that dollar sign bag thing.
Yeah, exactly.
He does. Right. He owns the symbol.
It's true.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Hump Day's Pal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it.
Wow, that is a secure man. Secure enough to sing that. 50 minutes after the hour.
Love 9 to 5.
Me too.
It's such a funny, well-done movie. And by the way, Dolly Parton's acting in that, not that it isn't solid in everything she's ever been, she's the most naturalistic actor in the entire thing.
And that was her first movie.
First thing. That's exactly it. It's like Gregory Hines. She and Gregory Hines both had such a natural energy to them. Started out as, you know, him as a dancer, she as a singer.
Right.
But both of them, anything they show up in, magic. It was, I'm such a huge Gregory Hines fan, and I love Dolly Parton. She's such a classy, smart woman, so ridiculously talented. Yep. And rich? Get out of town.
You like her Hooters. Okay. I got a love letter.
I beg your pardon.
David in Massachusetts. Hal is wrong. Thank you, David. Dear Stephanie, I'm running to defend your reputation, which was severely questioned by Hal's disparaging comment with relation to your hugging ability at the beginning of today's show. Mm-hmm. I was privileged to enjoy the Boston Sexy Liberal and participate in the meet and grope afterwards. Picture attached. There we are. I'm giving him, like, full frontal double boob. That's a hug.
Yeah, obviously
the show was
great, as
was our conversation and hug. I will be glad to send a notarized statement testifying the fact that you are a fantastic hugger. In a word, your hugs are beyond great. Perhaps Hal should re-examine his standards using your hugging at the top of his scale. Perhaps everyone should attend your live appearance and receive a Stephanie hug. David, thank you, David.
I agree. You should go for the meet and grope tickets no matter what. I mean, it's worth it. Worth
I'm
every
penny. I'm motorboating
him.
Look.
Well, that's what I mean. Obviously, you didn't find him you felt it safe. The minute somebody comes up to you and you're just like, oh, they mean business, then it's...
That's like touching a pill bugger.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like those sea anemones underneath where you swim by them and you get swoop.
Yeah.
Right.
I turned into the Catholic girl that I was.
All right. You made me ink.
Okay, say it with me. What everyone said yesterday, Horseshack was gay.
Yeah.
Horseshack died yesterday.
He did.
It's very sad, but he was... reportedly survived by his partner of 41 years.
Wow.
Retired actor Joseph Graham. You were saying it's the second person that's come out in their obituary, Sally Ride and...
And now Horseshack.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It died at the age of 63. Very sad.
I'm glad he found happiness for 41 years.
Yeah,
that's
it's a shame that he had to keep that happiness to himself, though. It seems.
I know. And you know what? There's a bigger shame is that voice guy that filled in for Jim once many years ago, and his only impression was Horseshack. That guy. Think about his career.
Yeah, oof.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Well,
Carlos wasn't available.
And
Jim wasn't available, and so Jim sent this guy. And that's when we needed, like, Clinton and, you know, Monica Lewinsky and that kind of thing.
One might think that Jim did that on purpose.
I wonder how that guy, how his partner would feel if he ran into that guy.
I do agree, Horseshack.
how great. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. Like you're famous, right. Yeah. And you run into somebody who did an impersonation. Anybody? Yeah.
We got to do the story about the Crocs co-founder, because not since, what's his name, masturbating in his Crocs, has there been such a funny Crocs-related story.
Brett Favre. Yeah.
That sounds like that could be a Romney son.
Frappuccino Romney.
George Bodecker, one of three men who founded Crocs, arrested by Boulder police, charged with driving under the influence after he was found passed out in his Porsche. He initially tried to pin the blame on Taylor Swift, who he claimed was his girlfriend. He said Swift was in the driver's seat but had run off during an altercation. Asked by the cops where she was now, he pointed towards a nearby yard and responded, Nashville!
Oh, no. That's awesome.
Bodecker continued to yell at the officers, telling them to go yourselves in the and die.
Okay.
All right, none of that is anatomically possible.
Well,
first of all, you can't.
Well, if you did try, you probably would die in the process. Yes. If you were able to do it, you would probably break your own back, which you wouldn't be able to survive.
Bodecker was immediately was ultimately booked in the Boulder County Jail. He was wearing flip flops. That's the funniest part. Who wants to wear those ugly ass Crocs? Really?
Exactly. That's just awesome.
This is
Nashville.
And the great thing is, how do you not go to court and go, Your Honor, I have no idea what I was talking about. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
I can't even put those thoughts together. I was half in dream. I heard a noise. I woke up. And who hasn't been late for a plane, woken up mid-dream and started talking about nonsense?
I've been high, too. So you and ironically, because this whole story was kind of a crock.
Your Honor, Your Honor, this is a crock.
All right, this is bad news for me. Right. Kelly Clarkson, super happy in love with her boyfriend. Where am I going to get all my bitter love songs from now? She's going to have trouble, not a lot of angst to draw on writing her next song. She's her new boyfriend, what's his name, Brandon Blackstock. Apparently things couldn't be going.
Blackstock and Bloom.
Wow.
From Bielystock and Blackstock and Bloom. I'm just super happy, she told people this week. You know, I'm also in love. Oh.
Wow. I like angsty Kelly. I don't like in love Kelly.
They're the best breakup songs ever.
I like my boyfriend. He's really nice.
My life would suck without you. Yeah.
By the way,
and you just need those songs sometimes.
Speaking of people who are great at bitter breakup songs, Alanis Morissette. Now this is what she needed to put in. This is ironic, because as we pointed out many times, none of the things in that song ironic. They all suck. They all suck.
Yeah, they're unfortunate.
They're unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Flying your Chardonnay. No.
Now this, hearse driver dies while taking body to a funeral.
Well, there.
That's worse than rain on your wedding day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beverly Hills police say a hearse driver who was found dead with a body in the vehicle died while taking the casket to a funeral.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It would actually be more ironic if the person in the coffin was actually alive
yes.
And had been mistakenly dead. That would technically be ironic.
Where's my ride?
That would be right. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Oh, this sucks. Boom.
And meanwhile,
sucks to be
slumped
me.
Over the steering wheel.
Driver's dead.
Squee.
Boom, boom, boom. This is not funny.
Hey, everybody. What's stupid? Did Joe the Plumber say recently? Well, I'll tell you.
Nothing ironic
Joe the
about
Plumber,
that.
Who is neither Joe nor a plumber.
No,
Joe the Dumber.
He was at a Republican fundraiser in Arizona.
Of course he was.
Told the audience.
In Arizona? He's from Ohio. Why?
He was campaigning for a Republican.
Okay.
He told the audience the way to solve the country's immigration problem is to station troops along the border and have them start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
He repeated the comment the next morning at another campaign event, just in case you thought it was a one-time.
Yeah. So maybe he'll hit some women and kids, you know, who are running to escape drug cartel violence. You know, maybe, you know what, maybe we should take according to him, take a page out of the drug cartel's books and leave some severed heads along the border.
Right.
Then you just put them on spikes like we're, you know, it's Game of Thrones.
His Democratic opponent, Representative Marcy Kaptur of Ohio, said Joe the Plumber's comments have no place in a civil society. He should take back his words and apologize to everyone who respects life, the Constitution, and the rule of law.
Yes.
Thank you, Marcy. There's that.
Civil society can bite me.
Yeah, right. You assume that he actually believes in those three things.
Yeah.
How's Sparks, Hi. Friday night at the Magic Bag.
Yes, in Ferndale, Michigan. That's right. It's outside of Detroit. All you Detroit sexy liberals can come up. I didn't get to go to the Detroit sexy liberal show, so this is your one shot.
That's
Friday
right.
night, two shows at the Magic Bag. And then Columbus, Saturday night.
Yeah!
Columbus, Ohio.
With John Fugelsang and I, Saturday night. It might be a couple tickets left.
18
we don't
seats
know.
For $18 a piece. You know,
there's probably
like,
not that many
probably
left.
Gone now.
Yeah,
but
now it's
but it was, we're supposed to push.
All right. We'll see you Saturday in Columbus, and we'll see you next week.
See you on Twitter, at Health Sparks.
All right. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.